Years ago, when Gabriel Isaacson used to work at San Francisco's Exploratorium, he spent his afternoons leading flocks of schoolchildren around the museum's library of experiments and doing science demos for them. Sometimes, this even meant slicing open cow eyeballs for a live audience. But after you've dissected your 100th bovine oculus, some of the thrill starts to wane.
If you spend enough time at the Exploratorium, for instance, which we did because we worked there, you start trying to play with the exhibits in totally different ways. So it's this whole new level of creativity. Yeah, trying to interact with things in different ways becomes part of, not necessarily your job, but part of continued fun after you've been there for hours and hours and hours.
This knack for seeking a whole new level of creativity in science has followed Isaacson to Berkeley, where he is now a doctoral student in the Department of Environmental Science, Policy, and Management. And it has also earned him a reputation around the department as being somewhat of an unconventional researcher, at least when it comes to presenting his findings. This is what air pollution sounds like, at least in the Caldecott Tunnel that cuts east from Oakland through the Berkeley Hills, connecting Contra Costa County to the rest of the Bay Area.
It breaks down pretty much into gasoline, diesel, motor oil. And so that's what you're sort of hearing as you're walking along.
Isaacson studies how emissions, both those from humans and those from the natural world, interact to create air pollution. But rather than plotting his data on a chart, he instead decided to create an audible soundscape.
For years, the methods that we're using, people publish in papers, basically, they'll publish a figure because it's beautiful. Basically, it makes these beautiful two-dimensional figures of color and things like that. Everyone thinks of it as like a visually beautiful form of data, but then nobody thinks of it as like orally also interesting. But it is. It's basically, it's like you take the 2D data that we always look at and you just sort of play it.
This isn't as easy as Isaacson makes it sound.
So it's just mathematical, actually. And that was one of the cool things is when we run the mass spectrometer,
which is a technique Isaacson's team uses to determine the molecular composition of an air sample, basically what the air is made up of. The machine breaks down the air into masses between 0 and 400 that can be correlated to specific compounds, such as the ones found in diesel, gasoline, and motor oil emissions.
And so what I found is that you actually have to use, I believe it's an exponential scale. And so I just took the scale of a piano, and I made it 400 points long, you know, interpolated along there and made it 400 points long, and then just assigned each mass that. And so as you get into higher masses, you get into higher notes. But it preserves that trait of music that evenly spaced frequencies create harmonics. And that's why you get that. That's why the low notes in the beginning, instead of just being like white noise, actually are a chord, because they're evenly spaced because of the chemistry, which is kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. Isaacson's soundscapes have caught a lot of people's attention, including the Atlantic Monthly, which published an online article about his work back in September. The publicity is helping to educate people about air pollution in a new way, which was Isaacson's motivation from the get-go.
The idea behind this was to engage people who maybe never really step foot in a lab or never really get the chance or don't really have any good idea of what goes on in a lab or in our lab. And so it wasn't necessarily to make a scientific splash. It was to make people interested, and I think that's really important.
It's really important because we still have a lot to learn about air pollution. We've come a long way in the last 50 years since the Clean Air Act toward figuring out which chemicals have adverse health effects and limiting them at the source. But there are still a lot of holes in the body of scientific knowledge, particularly when it comes to how man-made emissions, like those from engines and smokestacks, interact with ones found in nature. This is what air sounds like in a remote pine forest deep in the Sierra Mountains. Those bubbly popping tones are smaller compounds that plants release to attract pollinators or repel hungry insects. Those compounds are the same ones that create the piney aromas inside our noses. They also interact with human-made emissions to create much more smog and haze than would be expected. This has led to inaccuracies in pollution models and hampered attempts to improve air quality.
What we need to do is better understand where this aerosol is coming from in order to be able to better predict when it will form. The newest version of models is doing somewhat better, but even 5 years ago, our models tended to underpredict aerosol in some areas by a factor of 10 or even sometimes a factor of 100. Aerosols, or particulate matter, has a huge impact on climate change because these types of aerosols specifically, when they're in the atmosphere, they reflect sunlight. And so they have a cooling effect. And so our ability to predict this particle formation is right now it's the largest uncertainty in climate change predictions.
Isaacson's work might pave the way for more awareness of air pollution, which is seen, but until now, has never been heard. For Downstream, I'm Megan Multenny.